This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
With the Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Well, I have as my guest today David Baldacci, and I'm just waiting for him to call in from New York. Meanwhile, I want to tell everyone that after that, I'm going to be playing a rerun today of an interview I had with Eileen Spinelli. She is one of my favorite children's author and a fine example to all of you out there who are thinking of writing children's books or you are in the process of writing children's books. Eileen and her husband Jerry Spinelli have been on the program a number of times. The reason I have done so is that I just enjoy talking to her. She has one of the most delightful laughs, and I think it's just adorable. And I love the name Eileen, and she reminds me of my aunts Eileen and Irene, and I had so many aunts, but I just love Eileen's attitude. And what I like about her writing is it's so simple and yet so deep. And so we're going to be talking. I'm going to be playing an interview I had with her before, and it was just wonderful to talk to her just about her process of writing. And as I said, her husband, Jerry, also writes for children, a little older middle grade books, but she writes picture books. And I found it fascinating how she comes out with a story and how she follows it through. So I'm really excited every year to read her books. And this book that I'm going to be talking to her about today is called Thankful. And it is a perfect book for Thanksgiving. And you still have time to order it. If you order it today, you can still have it by tomorrow. Or it's available at Barnes & Noble and a lot of independent bookstores, because I think it's going to become, you know, we have Christmas classics. We don't have that many Thanksgiving classics. And I think this particular book is just there's something about it that when you read it, it's the kind of book where if a kid says, read it again, you don't mind. And so I hope that you might make that a tradition. I know that we're going to do that with my family. We're going to all write in the book what we're thankful for, because it's a very simple way to have something that will be long-lasting, something you can do year after year. Every year, write something new. So I'm just waiting. I know Big Ed is in the control room, and he's going to get David Baldacci on for me. And, of course, it's always a joy, absolute joy to talk to David Baldacci, because, I mean, he is just terrific. And I was trying to think about the first time I read him. Of course, there's Absolute Power, which I'm sure all of you have know if you haven't read the book, which you should, because it's a great book. Okay, is David there?
I am.
Okay.
Hello, how are you?
Okay, I've been just telling everybody how wonderful you are, so you might start blushing, because I think you are so terrific. There's just so many wonderful things about you. I so admire the work that you and your wife Michelle are doing with Wish You Well to promote literacy, because I have more and more, as I've been doing this program, which I named Joy on Paper, because I love the joy of reading and I love the joy of writing, and you certainly combine all of that.
Well, thank you very much.
And it's the new book, of course. It's just amazing. It's called Long Road to Mercy, and they're promoting it actually as your first sort of strong, powerful female protagonist, but you always write strong females, I can tell you.
Yes, I do. And, you know, she was a long time coming in my mind, and I she's the first solo female protagonist I've had at the beginning of a series, and I thought it was about time, and she's a great new character, and kind of took me out of my comfort zone a little bit to build her character and also to set her in the southwestern United States where I'd never really written about before. So it was a lot of fun for me.
Well, you did a terrific job. You've introduced this character, and we have to ask you, I know, you know, so many of my listeners are writers, and when you know in advance that you're going to be writing a series, because sometimes people start books, they write a book and they don't think that it's going to be a series. But it's wonderful to have a series, one, because then people always go back and buy the first book, you know, when you're writing number 10. I was just talking to Mary Higgins Clark last week, and, you know, she's written the eighth book in a series, and people go back and start with one and go all the way through. So that's a good reason to do a series, right?
It is. You know, the publisher definitely loves that. And from the writer's perspective, you get more than one opportunity to build and grow and evolve a character as well. It's almost like a movie as opposed to a network television series where every week you get to come back and, you know, try to sharpen that character a little bit more. So, with, you know, the standalone books are great too, but with the series books, I really get a chance to evolve that character and increase their arc, and I really love that.
Well, Mary Higgins Clark is called the Queen of Suspense, and I think you perhaps are the King of Series, because your series are all so good. I mean, when we look at them, it's quite amazing. And I haven't been sure, you know, because with your series, I can't pick my favorite. Although, you know, I love the John Puller ones. I just love John Puller. But then you got Amos Decker, and I love the Amos Decker series. So, you know, you just drive people crazy with all these series.
They are, you know, they're all very different, but they're all compelling, and they got great characters. And last week it was just announced we sold the John Puller series, the network television series, to Fox.
Oh, fantastic.
We're working on that right now.
Oh.
We're working on the pilot script, and if everything goes well, it'll be on the air next September, so we're keeping our fingers crossed.
Oh, that's wonderful. Oh, we will all look forward to that. And as I said, just when I think you can't do anything more, then you came out with the Vega Jane series, which I love, and it's for young adults. And again, that idea of promoting young people to start reading is so wonderful.
It is, and it's a great thing, because that's something you can carry through your whole life. And books sometimes, you know, can be your best friends, particularly when you're having a bad day or down or depressed. You pick up a book, you fall into someone else's imagination, all of a sudden life looks a little bit better.
Well, that's what I think young people really need, and to really get off of the devices and texting them, texting too much, let's say, and just
yes.
get into a series. I know when I was, well, of course, I was like always, I've always been reading. I'm like, you know, I was reading at 3 years old, and by 5 years old, I was reading Perry Mason paperback books. But yeah, so yes. I know that joy. And I just am so thrilled that you and your wife have continued that process of helping people, young people, get into reading.
Yeah, you know, the Wishewa Foundation has been going now for almost 20 years. We had a great year this year. We funded over 40 programs probably a dozen states. And, you know, during the course of the nearly 20 years, we funded programs and initiatives in pretty much all 50 states and counting, and we'll continue to do so. Our mission is simple, to eradicate illiteracy, and that's what we intend to do.
Well, it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that the two of you are doing. Now, with the new book, of course, so you knew you were going to write a series, and you had this idea for, let's talk a little bit about the main character. And how did you come out with the idea for Atlee, who is a female FBI special agent? Her name is Atlee Pine. And where'd you, you know, when you had this idea sort of floating around, when did you sit down and sort of lay it out?
Yeah, you know, many months ago, I had the idea for a female FBI agent. Atlee is an old Southern name, you know, it could be both a boy and a girl's name. And in Richmond, where I used to live, and where my parents used to live, off the highway, you can get off at their exit and you go right to their house. And if you go left, you go to a place outside of Richmond called Atlee. You know, it's also an Atlee High School. So I've known that name since I was a kid. She has a very had a very traumatic childhood. She's one of twins, and her sister's name was Mercy. And that's where the title of the book comes from, Long Road to Mercy. When they were 6 years old, they lived in Macon, Georgia, and a man came through their window in the middle of the night and did a nursery rhyme on their foreheads, you know, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, ended on Mercy, ended up taking Mercy and almost killing Adley. So Adley grew up with tremendous survivor guilt. She never knew what happened to her twin. Nobody's ever found a body. They don't know if she's alive or dead. And I think that she's really what motivates her and drives her. She's living two lives instead of one. She's living her own life and the life of her twin and never had the opportunity to realize her own dreams and ambitions. So she went to the FBI, I think, really because she could never bring justice or resolution of what happened to her sister. So she tries to do it for other people to bring them justice and closure and resolution in the cases that she investigates.
Well, she's a fascinating character, and you put her in a location, an unexpected location. It was funny, when I started reading the book, you know, I didn't know anything about it. And I never read, you know, they send me information about a book before, you know, when they send me the books early on. But I never read any of that. I never read the blurbs. I never read, because I don't want to know anything about the character. I like that unfolding, and you're so good at that, that you bring in, you know, gradually you sort of, I realize, I'm reading and I'm thinking, okay, well, it's a FBI agent and there's going to be a murderer and we're going to, and then, you know, and I'm sort of, are we going to have any real, you know, sort of the David Baldacci big picture story? And boy, when you suck the reader in, it's like nonstop. Yeah. I mean literally nonstop. We go across the country. We go here. We go there. And most importantly, we go into the Grand Canyon, which you describe. I've read a lot of books where Grand Canyon plays a part, but nobody has ever written about the Grand Canyon like you.
Well, thank you. It's I visited there last year and found the place utterly mesmerizing and also very, you know, foreboding and forbidding. It's a very challenging environment, and if you don't know what you're doing, you can get into serious trouble pretty quickly. And a lot of people, you know, people die there every year because they don't give the place the respect that it deserves. But when I was looking out at it, I thought, this is a fantastic place. It's so raw and visceral and natural. And there's a danger side to it as well. And lots of things could happen down there no one would ever know. So it seemed like the perfect place for me to set this novel.
Wow. And then, of course, you when you know that you're going to have a series, you introduce characters and... And we know that there's going to be more stories involving them, and it's just wonderful to see how you build, you know, on an idea and carry it throughout the book.
Yeah, you know, it's and I don't outline, you know, the books before I sit down to write them. You know, every day I sit down and I kind of decide the direction I'm going to go in. Sometimes I surprise myself. I never know the ending of the novel before I actually end up writing it. So when I was writing, you know, Long Road to Mercy, I didn't know how it was going to end until I got very close to the end, and sort of all the thing fell into place in my head, and I figured out what I wanted to do, which keeps it exciting and different and fresh for me, too. I mean, I've always thought that if I wrote from an outline, it would read like I wrote from an outline. You know, it wouldn't be as much exciting, and it wouldn't be a spontaneous feeling. So for me, it all came together at the end, and I was very happy with how the book turned out.
Well, that's when a book is character driven, because the character gets into your head and takes over. That's what makes for a really smooth and wonderful journey for the reader.
Yeah, and you really do get into her head throughout. She carries the narrative drive. You see everything pretty much from her point of view. You know, a couple of times you'll see it from her assistant Carol Blum's point of view, but for the most part, Atlee carries a narrative on her broad shoulders, and you see the world and what she's thinking, and I think she has a very interesting perspective. She's very take charge. You know, she doesn't suffer fools gladly or any other way. She just, you know, marches ahead. She doesn't always make the right decision. Sometimes she gets beaten, but she gets back up and she keeps trying.
Well, yeah, I don't like to tell people what's going to happen in a book. I don't even want to, you know, say to them where it's going, because that was part of the fun. I'm telling you, I'm starting the book and I'm sort of thinking CJ Box, you know. I'm going to have a nice story set in the West, and it's going to be, you know, a murder and blah, 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 blah. And then whoa, it just took off. Yeah. And I thought, oh, I need to take a deep breath. This is so exciting and so relevant. We won't tell. I really don't think we should tell people why it's relevant to today, because I think that was part of the fun. It was so unexpected. I'm reading it and I'm saying,
I appreciate that.
You know, don't blab so much in you know, and people really, they shouldn't read the Amazon reviews or whatever, Barnes, I don't know who else has reviews out there where they have the whole story laid out, because it ruins the fun. I think the fun part of reading a thriller, and all of your books are thrilling, is that you don't know what's going to happen.
Exactly. You know, I'm the same with you. I don't like reading reviews or detailed descriptions where people give the ending away. That's not fair or fun for the other readers. So I think, you know, people will just take this book and it'll just take off. It'll take them in unexpected directions, and you know, the twists and turns will keep coming fast. And I think they'll realize at the end of the book that it's a far different one than they expected when they opened it.
Well, that's exactly what I was blown away. I just felt so good about this book when I finished it. I sat there and I just smiled to myself. I said, wow, he did it again. You know, as I said, I remember that happened to me with the Camel Club series. When I read the first book in that series, the Camel Club, I said to myself, this author is so good. And I knew it was going to be a series because, I mean, you couldn't stop this. It was just, I will say, sort of a train ride, like your current book. And it's just like, whoo, you are so, so good at capturing the reader.
Well, thank you. I mean, I try really hard at that. I want to tell a good story. I want to get people engaged so they can really just fall into another world for a while and not worry about anything else. And it's just, for me, I love opening a book that does it for me. And those are the sorts of books that I like writing.
And we always learn so much from your books because they are so relevant, and you bring in history, or in this case, the Grand Canyon. I'm sure that people will go away from the book and say, you know, I've been to the Grand Canyon, but I didn't know this. And they will want to go back. And I think that, you know, Grand Canyon has to, like, promote this book, because once people read it, I mean, now, you know, I was there, but I never quite appreciated it until I, you know, saw it through your eyes, or in this case, through Atlee Pine's eyes. And it was just so revealing. And I thought, wow, I'm sure people who have been or people who haven't been will now want to see the Grand Canyon because of David Baldacci.
Yeah, I hope so. Really, it's you know, there are seven natural wonders of the world. The Grand Canyon is the only one located in the United States. It's so big you can see it from outer space. It really is breathtaking. It's so big, you know, you can't stand in any one spot and see the entire canyon. It's just something I think everyone should experience, and I hope the book does, you know, motivate people to go out to Arizona and take a look at the Grand Canyon and experience it, because it's absolutely, you know, life-changing in some ways.
And people will be reading this book all over the world. I don't know now how I think you're translated into at least 50 languages.
Yeah.
You know, they send me all this blurb stuff about you, and to mention that, you know, you're like in 50 languages now, and in more than 80 countries, and over 130 million sales around the world, and grow. You have to put, I told Mary Higgins that they have to put, you know, like they do the debt clock, they have to do a clock on your website, and just every time a book is sold, they have to go, it has to spin around and maybe ring, cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
That's a cool idea.
It is. I mean, I'm telling you, people, if you put that on your website, giving you some advice, marketing advice. If you put that on your website, people will just go buy the book just so they'll say, well, that was my cha-ching for him, and it was worth it. You know, because some, you know, it's always wonderful to invest in an author that you love and to have that, to know that you've helped to create that. I think it's wonderful. And then to have an author who does so much good with what he makes. And as I said, you and Michelle are doing such wonderful work, so that we know that the money that we're spending, although I must say I'm so happy now that I have this show, I don't have to pay for them, because all of the other ones, all the Camel Club ones, the Sean King and Michelle Maxwell ones, and all of those, I had to buy. So, but it's wonderful to know that the money is going to a good cause.
Yes, absolutely is, and we'll continue to do that. We take it very seriously. We work very hard at the foundation.
Well, I think that, again, you know, one of the nice things, when somebody is so famous like you, you and Lee Child, and you really care about, I was just, we had BoucherCon here in Florida, and Lee was here. And I was so thrilled to see how he was with the fans, because, you know, I had never been to, that was my first BoucherCon. Yeah, I've been doing this program 3.5 years, and I had never been to a major convention where there were so many, I mean, we had 1,000 fans at this event. And to see how he has impacted their life, and I'm sure just, I was impacted actually from the very, very first time I read your book. I just had a new perspective on Washington, on power, on all sorts of things. And it's just wonderful what great authors accomplish.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Yeah, it's definitely how I've wanted to spend my life, and I want to have a positive impact on people and, you know, inform them and bring them joy while they're reading.
And in this case, we're not going to talk too much about the plot of the book, but it's nice, as we said, Attlee is a FBI special agent, and it's good to have one that we can really look up to. You know, in this, it's sort of timely that your protagonist is in the FBI.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, it's our premier law enforcement agency, and her job out in Arizona is really to oversee and protect the Grand Canyon, and anything that happens within the Grand Canyon that's a crime, the FBI usually is called in, and that's how this case starts. You know, she finds a dead mule at the bottom of the canyon, and the rider of the mule is missing, and so she has to locate him. And then the plot really mushrooms from there and takes a lot of different courses.
And I think it's so wonderful that you've written an FBI character whom we can really admire and appreciate her dedication to her job and to protecting America, because with all the news and everything, I think there are people are like, what's the problem there? But as we know, most FBI agents are just fantastic, and we want people to have this respect for the FBI. And I think Attlee is, you know, really a wonderful character that you've developed.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I have great respect for the men and women who serve in the FBI. Their job is very difficult. They have a lot of balls in the air they're juggling, and a lot of responsibilities, and, you know, their goal is to keep us and the country safe, and, you know, you have to respect and admire that.
And I'm sure you have some FBI agents there who enjoyed working with you a little bit.
I did, yes. I interviewed FBI agents for this book, and, you know, got a feel for what it's like to work in a small resident agency, and where the agent really has to do everything. And it was kind of neat, you know, to take that. You know, everybody thinks that the FBI is this huge bureaucracy with hundreds of agents in these big buildings, but to distill it down to this one agent, you know, with one assistant in a little office, makes it seem, you know, more relatable, more human. You can really, I think, have a better connection, because it really is a one-on-one experience.
That's true. I didn't know about these resident agencies. I didn't know that there would be a small office. You know, you always think of the FBI in these big sort of gray office buildings and you know, cubicles, and you sort of never think. I didn't even know. I had no idea myself that there were these small agencies around the country where they station agents ready to jump in and do the work that needs to be done.
Yeah, the satellite agencies really, you know, they do a lot of the work. The primary offices, I think there are maybe almost 60 of them. They're the big ones. They're the Boston and New York and Chicago and Washington, D.C. and those. But for a lot of the country, you know, the middle of the country and some of the coastal areas, you're going to have 1, 2, 3, 4 person agencies, and that'll be the people that are going to come out and, you know, try to figure out what's going on. So it's not an army of agents. In fact, with Atlee Pine, she may be the only FBI agent for hundreds of square miles out there.
Well, I think you've developed a wonderful character, and people can go to your website, which is davidbaldacci.com.
That's right. Yep.
And for the charity?
Yeah, it's wishyouwellfoundation.org, and you can learn more about the charity and how you might want to get involved.
Well, I think this is going to be I know it's going to be a bestseller, number one. It's a long road to mercy. You're the kind of author that people, they pre-order the book in advance because they know it's going to be great. And I think no one will be disappointed in this book because, as I said, it just... The way you've just laid it out and slowly reveal and then sort of send us into fast action is just wonderful.
Well, I appreciate it very much. I had a lot of fun writing it. I hope a lot of people enjoy reading it.
Well, you certainly know the joy on paper. And again, David Baldacci, I hope everyone will get this wonderful read. It'll be just wonderful. You get it and over the holidays here, you can sit and relax and get into a fascinating world. And again, you've done a wonderful job.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Well, what's the next book coming out? When?
It'll be out in April. It'll be a new Amos Decker, my memory.
Oh, good. I love Amos. I get so thrilled when I get such a kick out of him. You're going to be back for that one because I'm waiting. I'm waiting for my pre-release. I love to get books before everybody else.
I'm sure I would too.
Yeah, well, I'm sure people, a lot of people send you books so that you'll give them a blurb, because
I have stacks of those books, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's always nice when you find a book that you can recommend, and I highly recommend this book. So again, David, thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you. Always enjoy it.
Okay. Bye bye now. Okay, David Baldacci, here's his book, Long Road to Mercy, Atlee Pine Thriller, the first of, I'm sure, another wonderful series. Until I sort of looked at it on the screen, I mean, I knew all his books. I think I've read almost every one. There was a few that I missed, but I'll probably catch up. But it's really exciting. We're going to take a commercial break, and then we'll be back, and I'm going to play and talk a little bit more. Okay.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more rewarding careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at LarsonPatentLaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell, or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers' clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
I'm going to play an interview I had with Eileen Spinelli. It's about her book, Thankful, which I think is a real Thanksgiving classic. And then sometime in December, I'm going to have her and her husband back on Joy on Paper. We'll talk about their Christmas books because they have a lot of them. This particular book is illustrated by Archie Preston. It is just delightful. And I want to I'm going to just jump right into the interview. And then once it's over, I want to talk a little bit more about some interesting information I have for you. Okay. I'm very happy that my guest today has written this wonderful book called Thankful. It is such an appropriate book to review at this time and to talk to the great author, award-winning author Eileen Spinelli. Hi, Eileen, are you there?
Yes, Patsy, hi. It's nice to talk to you.
Well, I'm so happy to talk to you. I love your book. All of your books are great, but Thankful, it has to be, and I'm sure will become one of the favorites of all children because it is delightful. Just, it's one of those books where you will never be sorry to hear a kid say, read it again, because it's, we can read it over and over. It's just, you have written such a lovely little book that has so much charm.
Well, I love the illustrations.
Oh, they are beautiful.
Archie Preston did the artwork, and when I saw the book, I was just overjoyed because they have such a tender, endearing quality to them.
They work beautifully with your words. He obviously a very, very clever illustrator. And, of course, you have a great publisher in Zonder Kids. They have
Absolutely.
Such high-quality work.
Right, right. They're great to work with.
Well, I every time I get one of their books, I'm just thrilled because they are always such top quality. And, of course, they have the best writers, and you among them.
Thank you.
I know you've won so many awards. I love your name, by the way. My favorite aunt was named Eileen. And it's not a name that you hear very often anymore, but I think it's such a nice name. Now, I know, of course, you're an award-winning author, and of course your husband's an award-winning author.
He's out for a walk right now.
I was thinking after, I don't know why I didn't have both of you on, because I'll have to have him another day.
Right.
Give up some of his secrets, because he has written some amazing things.
He is a wonderful writer.
He is. And I know he's inspired you, and well, I think just about everything inspires you. You're the kind who you see something and that other people might overlook, and you could just make a little poem out of it or a book out of it. It's amazing.
Well, I do. I have my moments, Patsy, when I don't have an idea in my head. And that can be a scary time, but I do keep a notebook, so that's helpful. And sometimes you just need a break, and so I do other things like read or I'll go for a walk or watch an old movie or hang out with the grandkids. But, I wish I had one idea after another. It might seem like I do because I've been writing a long time. But sometimes I don't have an idea, and that can be a discouraging time.
But as you said, you take a walk, you look around.
Right.
And there's, I tell people that, if Kafka could write about a cockroach,
right.
Anybody can. You can always
right.
find something to write about, right?
Right. And so, sometimes it's helpful if an editor asks for something, or someone says, "Gee, do you have a book about Christmas or Thanksgiving or Halloween?" And then that gives you a little springboard to bounce from.
Of course, Thankful is ideal for Thanksgiving, but I think it's a year-round book because
I hope so.
It really is. It's so beautifully written with such simple rhymes, and yet they're unusual. They're not expected, and
right.
So it's sort of the unexpected that pops out at you and makes it so amusing and so really it's a heartwarming book.
Well, thank you. It's tricky to write a rhyming book because it reads, or it should read, so, you know, it should flow, and so it sounds easy because it's easy to read. But actually, for me, it's the most challenging thing I do is when I do a picture book in verse. It's very, very difficult. You can't, you know, you need to avoid a forced rhyme. You need to not have your rhyme so predictable, or to use a cliche like cat and mad. And so sometimes it takes even a whole afternoon to come up with one couplet that flows. So the rhyming picture books are difficult to write, even though they feel easy to read.
Yeah, yeah. You've been writing for a lot of years.
A lot of years.
A lot of years. I don't know. Were you ever rejected in the beginning?
Oh, I'm still rejected.
No.
Absolutely. It comes with the territory. Like if you're a carpenter, you're going to bang your thumb with a hammer. If you're a writer, you're going to be rejected. And not as often as I was, but definitely, you know, the rejections come to everyone.
And that's what I was just at a writer's meeting yesterday, and we were talking about it, and I said, well, you know, that exactly what you said, it comes, and you just have to keep going.
Right, right. So, it's the perseverance that gets you past that. I think if I had stopped writing after my 100th rejection, then a lot of the books I've written wouldn't have been done. You just keep going. I think one thing that helps that is there's a quote that I love, and I have it on my desk. I don't know who said it, but it's really wise, and it says, bring love, not ambition, to your work.
Oh, and that's great.
Isn't that great? Because, you know, if ambition comes last, but if you bring love to your work, I just think magic happens in a way that it doesn't when you're trying to figure out the trend and what's popular and what people want. I think if you bring love to your work and just simply write what you love, love what you're doing, love your reader, love, you know, be gentle with yourself when you're working, I think good things happen.
Well, in this book where you, as I said, you come out with unusual people to be who are
right.
thankful for things
because right.
because it is important that children see that there are all types of people on and all sorts of things to be thankful for.
Right, and not only thankful to God for all the blessings, but thankful to one another. And I think we don't articulate that as much as we might. How often we're pleased about something or grateful that someone did something for us, something very simple, and we don't say the thank you, but I think we all appreciate hearing that something we've done has pleased someone or helped someone, and I think it's a good idea to remember to articulate that, especially in the world today, you know, to tell people how grateful we are for the things they do for us.
And for simple things, it's wonderful.
Right.
I love the line, the waitress is thankful for comfortable shoes.
Just, I was a waitress, so I know that first.
So was I. So I remember that feeling. And when you are doing something like that, when you're a waitress or whatever, you you do sort of hone in on that one thing that really
right.
keeps you going all day.
It's hard to deliver mail or a tray of food if your feet hurt.
Well, in some ways it reminds me of I was talking, I interviewed not long ago our new poet laureate, Juan Felipe Herrera, and he was talking about being thankful for so many things. And, of course, one of the things he was most thankful for was he had a wonderful third grade teacher who inspired him. And, of course, his mother, who was a storyteller and who told him stories all the time, so he was thankful that she told him the stories. And then when he got to school, although, you know, he was he's Chicano and there were all those problems in those days with, you know, being a Chicano student, he got to school and there he had a third grade teacher who inspired him to write these stories that his mother's been telling him, to to not forget them, to, you know, keep them alive. And so something like that, how wonderful one person or one book can have such an effect on a person. And so I really like that idea of being thankful. And I know that I told him that my I had a third grade teacher for whom I was not thankful because she I'm left-handed, and she didn't believe in left-handedness. And so she made me sit on my left hand for the first 2 months of my third grade semester. So it's important. It's important to find those things that one can be thankful for.
That's for sure.
Absolutely. So when were you as a child? Now, what was there a teacher who inspired you? Did you write young, or did you only start writing when you met your wonderful husband?
No, I started writing when I was 6 years old, and actually I have a someone to be thankful for. It was a librarian at our town library. Her name was Miss Armstrong, and on Saturdays, because we didn't have school libraries, I would go to the library, and we were allowed to choose 10 books, which was amazing to me, because in those days my parents could not afford to buy books for me, except the little 25-cent golden books. So this librarian was just so loving. She would look for books for me during the week and encourage me to read, and that's how I came to love words and books, and decided then when I was six that I wanted to become a writer.
Well, isn't that amazing when somebody does that for another person?
Right. She doesn't know, because I mean, I grew up and we moved away, and I've asked around locally if anybody remembers Miss Armstrong, because I would love for her to know. But she doesn't need to know. She did it, and I remember her with great fondness. And sometimes we don't know the effect we have on people, but
it's important to plant that seed. Well, as a matter of fact, it was amazing. Juan Felipe Herrera told me that when he was notified that he had been selected U.S. Poet Laureate, he just took that office in September, he called his teacher, who is still alive.
Wonderful.
And now is 92 years old.
Wonderful.
I thought how amazing it must be for her to know that, you know, to live that long and to be able to live long enough to see one of her students become the Poet Laureate.
Yes.
So
that's absolutely, and lovely that he made that call.
Oh, yeah. So he was so thrilled to be able to talk to her and involve her in the process, too. It was a wonderful, well, it showed, of course, what a wonderful person he is.
And absolutely.
So I think your books will have an effect on children. I think they will.
I hope so.
Will remember them. I find there's a lot of, well, it's not just, you know, goodness and hope and encouragement in all of your books. I've had a chance to, you know, read quite a few of them, and I think you have that sort of runs through you of wanting to encourage and offer hope and goodness. So that's a nice theme.
Well, it is. I don't want to preach, but I hope that my, you know, what I care about in life, I hope that comes through to the readers, children and adults. Sometimes I think we think picture books are just for kids, but actually, I think I love picture books. I think they're for all ages, and I think, you know, each one is a small literary experience, and you know, and they're short, so we can enjoy them, you know, while the tea is boiling or while we're waiting for the cookies to be done in the oven. I think the art, the illustrations in these books are amazing, and I think, you know, I think they're for all ages, really.
Well, I agree, because as I said, it's the kind of book that I could read over and over and over myself. It's just every time I pick it up, I think, oh, I see another sort of, well, the illustrations are so full. So, you know, you can look at them many, many times. So I think that
And they make you smile, and don't we need smiles?
Definitely. I can't. Something, you know, that we all need now. Mm-hmm. Are you working on other books right now, picture books?
I do have a book I'm working on. It's a novel in verse.
Well, of course, you've got a big audience there for your books, right?
Do you mean in my family?
Yes, in your family.
We do. We have 27 grandchildren. That includes 5 great.
Wow. So I'm sure they enjoy having you read aloud to them?
The younger ones do, and then the older ones read aloud to their children. So, yes, we do have a big audience. I just did a signing at a local bookstore, and our granddaughter Lulu, who's 5, was sitting next to me watching me sign my books, and she said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "I'm signing my name." She said, "I can sign my name, L-U-L-U." So maybe she'll become a writer.
Well, absolutely. I think if I was there, I would have asked for her autograph, because she sounds like she's going to be an up-and-coming writer. What's your advice for writers other than just stick to it? I mean, is there a specific when you write a book, a children's book, and you present it to the... Who do you present it to? The publisher?
To your editor.
And I can't imagine anyone editing your.
Absolutely. And I need an editor, because it's an editor just makes the book so much better, really. Just with suggestions, and I mean my books would not be near as good without an editor. A good editor is a gem. So, yes, I do need an editor.
You do need an editor. And do you like to do book tours?
No.
No?
I'll tell you why. When I'm kind of an introvert and a little quiet kind of a person, and my idea of becoming a writer was that I would sit in a little cabin and drink tea and write. And now that I'm older, I'm not as nervous about talking, as you can see, or meeting people. But it was scary, because my nature is not to be marketing or pushing my books. My nature is to just sit somewhere quiet and write. And so I have to pull this little piece of myself that's more outgoing in order to do book tours and visits like that. And you can imagine how busy I am with my grandkids. And for me, at this stage of life, that kind of takes precedence. But I do know that young writers today do need to get out and help market their book.
Oh, they do. They do. It's a different business now. They need to have a writer's platform, and they need to do all of this. You need to do Facebook, and you need to do...
Right. And I'm past that. I have a website, which is, you know, exciting for me, but I wouldn't have known how to do it. But it's different today, and so I think people do need to get out and talk about their work and everything, and I know that the publishers appreciate that, because... You know, it's hard to sell books.
And what is your website?
It's Eileen Spinelli, all run together, .com.
Okay, so people can go there and find out more about what are you putting up on your website?
Well, I have a poem every month. There's writing tips and also contact information, so you can contact me on my website. Sometimes it helps to think out of the box a little, you know, to think about ways of doing things just a little different.
Well, that's good advice, because it's not an easy thing for young writers to sort of break through. And
right.
if they are lucky enough to with their children's books to find an agent, mm-hmm. and then to get published, certainly by Zonder Kids. Now, Zonder Kids, they select your illustrator, or do you get to select your illustrator?
It's always the publisher who selects the author. I mean, the artist. I have nothing to do with that at all. And people will say to me, "Oh, you know, are you disappointed, or do you give the artist advice?" And I'm thinking, I draw stick figures. I mean, I have no advice to give to an artist. So I think what happens is the art director at the publishers and the editor get together, I'm sure, and decide who best fits, you know, the spirit of the text. And so that's why every book that I do is different, because the text is different. So but I'm always thrilled with the artwork. I'm just amazed at the talent of the artists in the industry today. They're amazing.
Well, you certainly latched on here with Archie.
Absolutely.
This is fantastic, fantastic work. And I'm sure that, it was fun when you first saw his illustrations, when they showed them to you, how excited you must have been. Okay, well, I just wanted to play that for you just to get you in the mood for Thanksgiving. Again, her name is Eileen Spinelli, and the book is Thankful, and I hope that you will get it and make it part of your family tradition to read it at the Thanksgiving table, and that's what we're going to do this year. Again, I want to tell you, if you want to support Joanne Paper, please go to mypillow.com and use promo code Patsy, P-A-T-Z-I. That's my name. It's real easy to remember. And that helps support Joanne Paper, because I love to bring authors to you. And I love to bring authors who are not promoting their book at the, you know, it's not a new release. And this is always the problem, that books are released and then they're forgotten. And so, with fewer bookstores for you to browse, it's important that their names constantly be put in front of you. And so Eileen Spinelli and Jerry Spinelli, her husband, are both terrific authors, and you should check them out on the internet wherever books are sold. Also, I want to thank again Glenn Erickson for sponsoring Joy on Paper. He's wonderful. He's going to be coming in. I've invited him to come in December. He's going to come in. We're going to talk about, in general, sci-fi, and more specifically, just about the joy of writing and the process of writing, because he is an enthusiastic author and also a supporter of literacy, just like David Baldacci. So just wonderful people who really, really care about helping people just find this joy on paper that I tell you about, because one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or if you're really lucky, to have them made into a film or a movie, and you'll hear your words, those magic words, lights, camera, action. And David Baldacci is going to have his series starting in September on Fox Channel. So, it's always exciting, but it's up to you. I'm almost finished. I'm almost to my 50,000 words for NaNoWriMo, and it's been an experience, and I have to finish. I'll probably just finish on Sunday night, because I'm really getting behind. But again, say something nice to somebody. I'll say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. Thank you, Ed. And everybody, have a wonderful Thanksgiving. I'll be playing a rerun, because I'm going to be making a turkey with stuffing and having lots of fun with my family. Okay, bye-bye now.
WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay.